The Silent Treatment by Abby Greaves. Read by Adrian Rawlins, Olivia Darnley, and Alison Dowling. Prologue. From above, Maggie looks to have everything under control. She deposits the tablets onto the dinner plate with her usual fastidious care. If anything, she moves through the motions of breaking the coated capsules free from the foil with even greater precision than usual, taping the blister slowly so as to enjoy the sharp clanging sound that announces each one hitting the ceramic. Anything to break the silence. When she has 8 in front of her, Maggie retrieves from the sideboard her glass of water, untouched since lunch, and checks the oven setting one last time. Chicken pie, ready-made, so it will be 25 minutes. Plenty of time to finish up here. She pulls out a chair and takes a seat at the kitchen table, her back to the door. There is a sheaf of bills in front of her, all settled, but spilling over untidily. Maggie reaches into her handbag and fishes out her most treasured gift, a paperweight fashioned from a rock, decorated especially for her, and places it on top of them. Mess contained, she clicks up her pen. A rollerball, one of the few with ink in the desk drawer of no return, with a smooth glide that seems unlikely to reignite the claw-fisted cramp a weak writing in biro has induced. Her script is as neat and sharp as ever as she finishes her last sentence to Frank. If there is any fragment of doubt in her mind, there are few visible signs. Maybe a little wobble on the comma, if you look closely. Maggie shuts the red leather planner, and without further ado, she gathers the pills in her hand, drops them on her tongue, and takes a small sip of the water, casting her head back in the extravagant swallowing gesture she developed in her teenage years and has never quite outgrown in the half-century since. At first, nothing occurs. Without moving from her seat, she goes back to trimming the beans, pushing the ends and their peculiar fibrous tails to the corner of the chopping board. The waves of relaxation arrive after a minute or so. Maggie's slicing begins to slow, her right hand trembling on the cutting knife. Just seconds later, she slumps forward. Fortunately, it is far too swift a process, her head suddenly dropping in the way it always would during the French film marathons Frank lined up for wet Sunday afternoons. It is a shame he is not there to cushion the fall this time. And this time, there is no chance she will jolt back awake. In his study, Frank fixates on the screen in front of him. The end is in sight. A knight, a bishop, and a pawn, all controlled by the computer on a beginner's setting, no less, pen in his last bastion of hope, his queen. All those academic achievements, and still he has yet to progress past level 2. It gives a whole new resonance to his most favourite of phrases. Persistence is key. In the past, when Maggie called him for supper, he would be so engrossed in his strategy that he couldn't register the sound of her voice, let alone shut down his game. Once she had plated up, Maggie would come and retrieve him herself, resting her hands on his shoulders and stroking between the blades with her thumbs until the checkmate screen inevitably appeared. Next time, she would say to buoy Frank back up. The algorithms might be stacked against him, but Maggie could never stand to see him disappointed. Today, however, there is nothing quite so kind to rouse him. When the fire alarm cuts through his consciousness, his surprise is more that it still works than that it has gone off. Maggie has never been a very attentive cook, though at least it means they don't have to go through the ceremony of testing the smoke detector battery with a broom handle every 3 months. What's more, their early years together were marked by a string of now infamous culinary defeats. The lopsided trifle of 78, the 5th or 6th.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?